Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Not in 2 Corinthians, but in 1 Corinthians, the book right before this one, in chapter 15, the Apostle Paul writes these words. He says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel." And throughout the entire season of Lent, which we just finished this past week or so, and then into Holy Week, what we've done here at Westview is we have looked at life and ministry moments in the life of Jesus, those gospel moments of Jesus, the good news about Jesus. We've talked about how Jesus has come to us and how Jesus teaches us and how Jesus calls us and how Jesus serves us and how Jesus sets an example for us. And then we got to Holy Week, and on Good Friday we talked about how we were reminded that Jesus died for us. And then just a week ago on this Sunday morning, a week ago, is Easter morning, and we were reminded of this part of the gospel, that Jesus defeated death. And we talked about all that that means for us now and forever. And so now here we are, post-resurrection. We're on this side of Easter, and this sermon series about this reminder is going to continue, because the life and the ministry of Jesus did not just end on Easter morning. But it continues. And so we're going to take the rest of this month and continue to be reminded about aspects of the life and ministry of Jesus, to be reminded of the story of Jesus and how his story continues to impact our story. And that includes our passage that is before us here this morning. I'm going to invite you, please, if you would, follow along as I read aloud these words that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. Start in verse 17 with me, please. The Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. Now, I don't think we can read those five verses without one of those words leaping off the page, yes? Five times in five verses, this word in some sort of tense or some sort of form appears, yes? In fact, the ratio is actually more condensed than that. Five times in the middle three verses. Did you see them all? Verse 18, let's start there. Reconciled. Reconciliation. Reconciling. Reconciliation. And reconciled. Now, you don't need me up here this morning, nor do you need Captain Obvious from those, is it Hotels.com commercials, right? You don't need me or him up here this morning to name that this is an important topic that is at the top of Paul's mind this morning. And what it does then is it begs the question, what does reconcile mean? Because reconcile or reconciled, reconciliation, reconcile, that's one of those churchy words, yes? I mean, that's part of Christianese, those words that we throw around, we talk about, and we maybe have a semblance of understanding about what that word is, but do we really understand the heart of what this word is? And so the question for us today is, what does reconcile mean? So let's go to the Greek. That's always helpful, yes? And the Greek word for reconcile is the word katalasso. See it there on the screen? Let's say it together. Ready? Katalasso. Let's do it one more time. Ready? Katalasso. Very good. Actually, katalasso never shows up in this passage, but all sorts of tenses with suffixes show up. And so we get words like katalazontos and katalazgleges and katalason. I mean, I'm going to make you say all of those. But at the heart of all of those words is this word, katalasso. Say it again with me, please. Katalasso. And there are two primary ways to define katalasso, the word that we translate as reconcile. And both of those definitions, both of those meanings, help us understand why this is so important to Paul. The first meaning is that katalasso refers to the restoring of a relationship. It's the movement from enmity between two parties and moving toward friendship. It's a movement, and you hear that in the word katalasso. The first part of the word kata is a prefix, and that word, that prefix means contrary or against or opposed. And so this word speaks about moving against or moving away, moving contrary to what is and moving towards something else. And what already is. When we talk about our relationship between us, humanity, and with God, what already is that it is a ruptured relationship with God. It is something we explored in depth together on Good Friday. It's one of the most basic elements of our redemption story, that our relationship with God is broken because of sin. What we talked about on Good Friday, that one sin of Adam corrupted all of humanity. We all are sinful now. And what that one sin of Adam did is it stained us all with that natural sinfulness. And what that did, that one sin of Adam, it drove a division between us and God. It drove a division between us who are now sinful humanity and a pure, perfect, holy, righteous God. There's a division. There's a rupture in this relationship. That's where it starts. But here's the good news today, friends. God still loves us. He has always loved us, and He always will love us. Even when we are dead in our sins, God has a love for you and for me and for this whole world. That love remains steadfast. And because God loves you and me, God goes to work. God takes the initiative. I love the words that start out verse 18. Look there with me. It says, all this is from God. All this is from God. All this. What is Paul talking about? All this, the work of reconciliation. The movement away from a ruptured relationship toward the restored relationship. This is the work of God. God sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to earth to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is the work of God. Jesus dying on the cross, taking on the punishment that our sins deserve, dying the death that was ours to pay. This is the work of God. Jesus rising from the dead, what we celebrated last Sunday morning, Easter morning, Jesus defeating death, securing life in His name for all who would put their trust in Him. This is the work of God. The moving away from an old life of sin and now becoming a new creation in Jesus Christ, this is the work of God. All this is from God, also that you and I can be reconciled with God, so that you and I can be restored in our relationship with God, that we can move from enmity towards friendship, that we can move from old life to new creation, that we can move from lost to saved. All this is from God. This is the work of reconciliation. This is the work that God has done. This is the work that God has done for us. Here's the thing with reconciliation. God did not need to be reconciled to us. God is not the one who moved. We are the ones who are sinful. We are the ones who sinned. We are the ones who are corrupt. We are the ones who have turned our back. We are the ones who are naturally sinful. We are the ones who cannot forgive ourselves. We are the ones who cannot earn our salvation. But God takes the initiative. God does the work, and He does the work on our behalf. He's like a loving father who is calling out to His children who are estranged, those children who have wandered off. And He's saying, come back, come to Me, come and receive the abundance and the unconditional nature of My love that is here for you. Come back to Me. Let's be restored in a relationship together. Look at verse 18 again. See, the work of reconciliation is God's work of restoring a relationship with us. And it says in verse 18, all this is from God. See what it says next? Who reconciled us to Himself through Christ. And not just us, not just you, not just me, not just those of us who are sitting here in this worship center, but we go on to the next verse, verse 19. It says that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ. Do you hear a couple of things in both of those verses? In both of them, God is doing the work of reconciling to Himself, calling, drawing you and me in this world to Himself, and both times it is through the work of Jesus Christ, through Christ, in Christ. The moving away from a ruptured relationship to a restored relationship with God, this is the work of God. And so we go back to that question. What does reconcile mean? What is reconciliation? Well, at its heart, reconciliation is God's work of salvation, which He initiated on the behalf of the whole world through His Son, Jesus Christ. That we who are lost, we who are stuck in the old life, we who are separate from God, we might have our relationship with God restored through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Friends, that's katalasso. That's reconcile. And that's what we want to be reminded of today, that He reconciles us. But how does this happen? We say we're reconciled to God, and it happens through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, and that's absolutely correct. Right? Through Jesus we are a new creation, but what is actually taking place to make that happen, to make that possible? And so for that part of this, we want to go back to katalasso. Because I said there's two definitions to katalasso. Man, I'm having a tongue twister on that one. There's two definitions for that word. There's two meanings for that word. Now, and not only does katalasso mean to restore a relationship, you know, what reconciliation is, but it also gives us understanding of how it happens. Because the root part of that word, it literally means an exchange. We're familiar with exchange, yes? We understand an exchange, like I have something and you have something and we exchange it, right? So a couple of examples of this. We maybe are traveling to a foreign country, and we have American dollars in our pocket, but you get to that foreign country, and maybe at the airport, or maybe at a bank, or maybe at an exchange center, right? You exchange your money, right? So let's say we're going to Mexico on vacation, yes? Cancun, Puerto Vallarta, wherever we might go. And we have one American U.S. dollar, and I looked it up today, or this past week, and one American dollar, I would give it to the exchange place, and they would give me 16.6 pesos back. That's an exchange, yes? I know when I was a kid, I did this. I know my kids have done and continue to do this at times. Maybe you did this at times as well, but I had all those baseball cards, and football cards, and basketball cards, and even hockey cards, and I didn't have any Pokemon cards. That was after my time. I don't understand those at all. But we would, what would we do with those cards? We'd get together with our cousins. We'd get together with our friends, and we would exchange them, right? And sometimes I would say, well, this card, this is a great card. This is a really good, you need to give me 3 cards, and there would be an exchange. Or today is what, April 7, right? Let me let you know that we are now 18 days away from the NFL draft. which is like a holiday in our home. It's just, I literally said this week, it's my favorite holiday of the year, right? This is bigger than the Super Bowl for us, the NFL draft. And so we are getting ready to talk about all the things that will happen on April 25th. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard this or not, but I'm a Vikings fan. Did you know that? Have I mentioned that once before? Yeah? But did you know that the Vikings, they need a new quarterback? Now, the good news is that there's supposed to be some good quarterbacks in the draft this year. And the Vikings have not one but two first-round picks. They have pick number 11 and pick number 23. Now, the way they're saying is that these supposedly good quarterbacks, they're not going to be around by the time pick 11, and certainly not by pick 23. And so the conversation in our home right now, and the conversation across the sports world that are thinking about the NFL draft, is can the Vikings exchange pick number 11 and pick number 23 for pick number 3? Or pick number 4, where those good quarterbacks are supposed to go? Can they exchange 11 and 23 for pick 3? Or do they have to add some more to it, which I would not be in favor of, right? But what's a fair exchange? And don't worry, there's not 1, 2, 3, but there's many charts that tell you, this pick is worth this, and this pick is worth this, and then you can have equals together, and we'll see how close you want to get, right? Does that make sense? Exchange, yes? So cards and money and draft picks, we exchange. And what do we often do when we exchange is we try to have an equal value when we have an exchange. To reconcile is to exchange. But in the case with us and God, it's a little different than that. And I think it's going to be most effective for us if we see this played out this morning. So I need the help of one of our kids this morning to help me out with an illustration. Thanks, Michaela, for volunteering this morning. I appreciate that so much. Come on up here, Michaela. I'm going to have you stand right here for me, okay? Now, Michaela, I'm going to have you stand there. And I've got to grab this right here. I have in my hands, I'm going to stand over on this side, Michaela. I have in my hands an apple. This is a big, juicy, I'm sure, delicious Honeycrisp apple, which is my favorite kind of apple. Anybody else? Yes? And I like this apple. Do you like apples? Yeah. Would you like to have this apple? Sure. Well, you could ask me for the apple. Would you like to ask for the apple?
Can I have the apple?
You didn't say please. Even if you said please, you know what I'd say? I don't know, Michaela. I love this apple. I really like this. I think I'm going to keep it. So even though you said please, I'm going to keep it. Now, Michaela also knows something about me. I think you know this about me. Did you know that I like plain M&Ms? That plain M&Ms are my favorite candy. I'm going to say that one more time so they hear it. Plain M&Ms are my favorite candy. All right? And so you know that I love plain M&Ms, and so you get a thought in your head, say, hey, I wonder if I could make an exchange with Pastor Josh, right? So Michaela, you have something here in this first bag. Why don't you find what's in there and see if you can make an exchange with me for this apple? Because you want this apple, but I love this apple. You can pull that out. Do you see what's in there? What do you have?
One plain M&M.
One plain M&M, yeah. You have one plain, and so you say to me, Josh, I would like to exchange you one plain M&M for your apple. You want to say that to me?
Can I exchange one M&M for your apple?
Ha! Yeah, right. No, thank you. That is not a fair exchange. So, Michaela's not going to get discouraged, so she's got something in bag number two. Why don't you pull out what's in bag number two? What do we have there? We have a regular package of M&Ms. And I like regular packages of M&Ms. I'm good with that. So, Michaela, now you're going to say to me, Josh, could I exchange the regular package of M&Ms for this apple?
Can I exchange the regular package of M&Ms for that apple?
You know, that's tempting, and that's probably a little closer to a fair exchange. But, you know, I love this apple so much. So I don't think so, Michaela. But you're not going to be frustrated with that because you have another bag, bag number three. Let's see what's in there. All right, yeah, now we're talking. Yeah, you want to show the congregation what you got? Now we got the share size of M&Ms. We have 10 ounces of M&Ms. What do you think you're going to say to me right now, Michaela?
Can I change this whole bag of M&Ms for that?
The whole bag, even. you know what, that is a pretty good deal. I would even say that that's a fair deal, and if not, maybe even a little unfair for Michaela, but I really do love this apple. So Michaela, I'm going to, as much as I want those M&Ms, I'm going to have to say no, and that's okay, because you have another bag to pull from here. Now we're talking. We have the Costco industrial size M&Ms, 62 ounces, which is my math. That's almost 4 pounds of M&Ms. Michaela, what do you think you're going to say this time?
Can I exchange this whole bottle of M&Ms for that apple?
Wow, that is a really great offer. Let me ask the congregation, do you think this is a fair exchange for Michaela? Oh, I don't know. You know, I really do love this apple, but I can't pass up 4 pounds. I'm going to give that to you. Thank you so much for helping me out. You can go have a seat. Oh, wait. Did you think you're going to get some M&Ms today? Did you want some M&Ms?
Sure.
All right. I'll hook you up after the worship service, okay? You can take the apple with you. You bet. Thanks. Thank you for helping me out this morning. That's katalasso, right? That's exchange. To reconcile, it means to exchange. But here's the exchange that God did. The exchange that God did is way more unfair than all of these M&Ms for that one apple. Check out verse 21 with me. God made him, that's Jesus, who had no sin, to become sin for us. Listen to that again. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. You talk about an unfair exchange, right? Jesus, who is the righteous, holy, pure Lamb of God, perfect in every way, the Son of God, who came to earth, who was fully human, yet was without any sin, this Jesus became sin. God made Jesus to take on my sin and your sin and all of our sin, and not just that, but all the sin of all the people of all the world. Now, can we imagine, right, this whole thing, these M&Ms are all representing the sin of the world, right? We would need lots more Costco industrial-sized M&Ms, yes? And this is junk food, right? This is sugar. This is all the sins of the people. And then you have Jesus, the apple, right? The one healthy item, no sin at all. And what God did to reverse the curse of the first apple was God exchanged perfection for sin. That by the plan of God, Jesus took on all our sin. He who had no sin, he became sin so that you and I could be reconciled, so that you and I could have a relationship with God restored. Look at verse 21, how it concludes. It says, so that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. Friends, this is the great exchange of reconciliation. That our sin is poured out into Jesus at the crucifixion, and Jesus' righteousness is poured into us when we believe in him. This is the incredible love-infused exchange that God did for us so that we can be reconciled to him, so that we who are sinful can become righteous. And now that we are righteous and having the righteousness of Jesus Christ, now with sins forgiven, now our relationship with God can be restored. As it says in verse 17, now we are a new creation. The old is gone. The old sin, the old guilt, the old shame, the old punishment, the old division, all of it is gone. We are a new creation in Christ. God makes a great exchange. Our sin for Christ's righteousness so that we can be restored in our relationships, that we can move away from sin and move away from death. We are made righteous in Jesus Christ. Friends, that is reconciliation. And we want to be reminded today not only what reconciliation is, but how God reconciles us. We want to be reminded that He reconciles us. But that's still not where the story of reconciliation ends. So let's review, right? We've spelled out what is reconciliation. It is the restoring of our relationship with God. And how does reconciliation happen? The great exchange. Our sin for Christ's righteousness. But there's still more in here to consider in this reminder. And that's our response to reconciliation, which is, again, twofold. The first part of our response is this. Look at the urging here. The word is implore in my Bible. Maybe it's a little different in yours. But the imploring that Paul has that falls upon our ears here. Look at the end of verse 20. Paul says, "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." This is a simple, powerful call to each and every one of us who are here today. Now that we know what reconciliation is, now we know how it happens, now the focus shifts to us. Paul says, be reconciled to God. Friends, we believe that God is at work. All this is from God. We believe that God is at work in all things, through all things, even the fact that you and I are here today, that each and every one of us are here in this place, in this moment, at this time, reading this passage, studying it together on this morning. It is the work of God. It's not by chance. It's not by luck. It's not by coincidence. It's not that we, you know, got up this morning and tested that strong wind and which way is it blowing? Okay, let's go to Westview Church this morning. We believe that God is at work. Just as He's at work in all this and reconciliation, God is at work, and we are here this morning, and He's reminding us of this good news of reconciliation. And then it comes to us, it's our opportunity to respond. To recognize that God has made a great exchange for our sins. Sins that we had no way of exchanging on our own. But God sent Jesus Christ to the cross, the Holy One, for the whole world, including you and me, friends. To be reminded this morning that our sins are forgiven when we confess. That righteousness is ours when we believe in Jesus. That our old life is gone. A new life is given to us for now and all of eternity. When we believe in Jesus, when we accept Him, that our relationship with God is forever restored now and forever when we are reconciled to God. And so my friends here this morning, hear this good news. Receive this good news. Believe this good news. This piece of the gospel story of Jesus and how it impacts our story today. Be reconciled to God. Here's the second part of our response. It's to share the good news of reconciliation. It's to become, as Paul says in our passage, to become Christ's ambassadors. Because God has committed to us the message. God has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. To go and share the good news we are hearing about today. To proclaim wholeness and restoration in our relationship with God that is possible through the great exchange of Jesus Christ. God uses us to make His appeal. God uses us to share the good news. We're going to talk more about that next week when we are reminded that He sends us. But for today, let me remind you, my dear friends, all of this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ. So let me remind you today that He reconciles us. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we just pause for a moment and when we do so, and we give ourselves permission to contemplate and to be reminded about the incredible gift of reconciliation, we can so quickly understand why this was so important to Paul. How reconciliation is indeed a key piece of the gospel story of Jesus Christ. God, thank You for loving us, even in our sinfulness. Thank You for calling us back to Yourself. Thank You for paving the way for us through the great exchange, our sin for Christ's righteousness. God, we heard this morning that You have been at work, and we pray that You'll continue to be at work, even right now, even here in this moment, in all of our hearts. That having heard the good news of reconciliation today, that we would indeed be reconciled to You. God, we name this morning that You know us. You know where we're at this morning. You know our hearts. You know our hopes. You know our hurts. You know where our standing is with You today. And so, Holy Spirit, we pray that You would impress upon each of us that where there is indeed still rupture or friction or division, that we might confess that before You, God, that we might receive the forgiveness that You have freely provided, that we might receive the free gift of life with you. God, may all of us be reconciled to you. And then, Lord, use us. Use us to share the message of reconciliation as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Lead us in this ministry of reconciliation, where there are continued hurts and where there are continued disruptions due to sin in this world, whether it's in our own lives or in our own relationships or in our communities or throughout this world. Lead us to proclaim the great work of restoration that is possible through Jesus Christ, who is restoring all things. Let us pursue this good work. And so, Holy Spirit, make us sensitive to where and how you are inviting us and calling us to proclaim and live out reconciliation. God, we thank you this day for the privilege that it is to pray alongside and with and for one another. God, we thank you for those with whom we can partner together with in ministry. We thank you for Linda and for the Clark family today. May we always faithfully serve you together. We thank you for the successful surgery for Tyler, and we ask for healing to be upon him. Thank you for the gift of little Addison Rose to her family. God, we are thankful for her health and strength and pray she can continue to grow healthy and strong. We pray for the serving time that is to come after worship today, that through our hands and through our feet that we might be a blessing to our community around us. We pray for the middle school retreat next week and all who attend that they would be drawn into a deeper, closer relationship with you. And God, for so many other things that are in our hearts today, we pray that in your infinite wisdom that you would know them, you'd know our hearts, and in that same infinite wisdom that you would provide according to your perfect plan. All this we pray in the name of Jesus, the one in whom and through whom we are reconciled to you. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.